Important dates in Christian history. 1962. Second Vatican Council begins, the most significant council since Trent. It will promote new attitudes and practices in Catholicism as Rome seeks to address the modern age. After Vatican II, priests perform the Mass in the local language whilst facing the congregation.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Two resources in one ministry. This is Wretched Radio. What was that? Two. That was a commercial. Two was a shampoo and conditioner. Two in one.
Yeah, probably.
You sound disgusted by it. Or was it a food? There was two in one. What is the part of it? Oh, this is the type of stuff that just, now I got to go Google. Here are two new resources from one ministry. The first resource, which we will be releasing, I think next week, is Out of the Shadows. Is that correct?
I believe they're both next week. It could be.
What were we thinking? Why didn't we spread this out? The truth is we're creating too much stuff. And I'm not even being flip. We're just creating too much stuff here. We can't roll out one thing at a time because we've just got so many things that we've been doing and producing. So the first thing that we're going to be releasing apparently next week is Out of the Shadows. Libby Glosson, she is one of our Fortis fellows, finally is going to be addressing, well, not like she's been delaying, finally somebody is going to be addressing the issue of women and pornography. I looked up the statistics, the number of women who are looking at it on the regs, it's frightening. It's really concerning and troubling. And Libby Glosson has put together a resource that is going to help women reframe the issue, understand why it is that they are actually consuming it. And the reason will surprise you, and it will give them a better alternative and the tools to stop turning their eyes onto filthy images. It's called Out of the Shadows. Can't wait for that to be released next week, along with a new podcast that we're producing called Exalt the King. It's an Jimmy, could you do this announcement? Because it's awkward for me.
Exalt the King.
It's my sermons.
It's basically, it's the sermon ministry of Alpharetta Bible Church.
There you go.
That's it.
Keep going.
Yeah, no, it's...
This will give you practice for your talking points.
Yeah, well, no, it's produced by the world-famous Jimmy Hicks. That's the selling point.
Wow, it's going to be really tight.
That's right.
The sound will be incredible.
That's exactly right.
So more, it's basically sermons is what it is.
Yeah, but I think people are interested in hearing the sermons of Alpharetta Bible Church.
Well, I hope that they're a blessing in some way. We do have... an engine that drives the preaching at ABC and the teaching at ABC. Super excited about this, that starting in the fall at Alpharetta Bible Church, we're actually just working on this right now. We wanted to do systematic theology for Sunday school, but I know what can happen with systematic theology. Stick out your chest now. Because you're going to get puffed up. Yeah, learning lots of stuff, learning big concepts here and finding all the Bible verses that support my systematic theology. There's a danger in learning. The danger is that you become puffed up. And that's a problem. Furthermore, for those of us who like theological learning, we can learn for the sake of learning, but not for the sake of being affected by it. We can learn because we just dig it so much and it fills our heads, but it never makes its way to our hearts. So we're going to do systematic theology and your emotions, or systematic theology and your affections. We are going to study systematic theology. We're going to do it. There's going to be just a bombarding of Bible verses, because that's how you build your systematic theology, teaching on that particular ology. But now that we know that truth about God, how should that impact me? How should that affect my affections? How does that help me deal with terrible toddlers, bad in-laws, a pink slip, a really frightening diagnosis. Our theology must make its way from head to heart. So we're going to be doing systematic theology in your emotions. The sermons, we're going to be starting out with 1 Peter. It's called Exalt the King because we try to do that in our preaching. We want Jesus to always look good. And we want Jesus to always be in the spotlight. And it's, this is one of the, we talked about this, I think, yesterday here on Wretched Radio, how it's just not hard to have a central theme in your service. Whatever the theme of the sermon is, then all of the elements inside of your service can support that and undergird that and be directly related to that. It's not that hard. And the same thing is true in preaching. It different texts, I grant you, can be more challenging on occasion, but overall, it's just not that difficult to find Jesus shining in a text, shining in the text. That we just sometimes forget it because we just teach on it. So for instance, on Sunday, I'm preaching on Psalm 84. It's our summer Psalm series, Psalm 84, about how wonderful it is to go to church. That's what it's about. How wonderful it is to go to church. How lovely is your dwelling places that my heart longs, it yearns to be in that place so that I can joyfully worship the Lord. All right. So obviously the subject is ecclesiology. Where's Jesus? He can be forgotten about. Where's Jesus? So I could preach a sermon very easily on nothing but church theology and what the temple foreshadowed in the church and what the church foreshadows in heaven. Yep. Where's Jesus? If the sermon forgets that, then I don't think it's going to be Christ-exalting preaching. And it should always be Christ-exalting preaching. And I admit, I fail, believe me, I fail. But I try to be so mindful of that. Because a sermon can be just rich and lavish with theology. And, oh, that's so cool. Okay, so for instance, it's the word long. My heart longs and yearns for you. It's two different words. And there's a reason. It's built poetically. But the word longing from the Hebrew word, it's a deep aching for something. And then I think it's the word yearning. Sorry, I'd have to look at my notes. The word yearning is that you are turning white from your desire for something. So what the psalmist is saying is my yearning is basically, it's making me like yearn so deeply and so profoundly that I'm turning white from it. Ooh, cool. What does it have to do with Jesus? Neato. Cool. Hebrew word study. Sometimes the pictures are really, they're fun to share those things. And those things should be shared. But what's the point of sharing it? What's the point of talking about the temple if it doesn't involve Jesus? If I could preach that sermon on Sunday with a Jewish rabbi sitting in the congregation, yes, that is very good. That was supposed to be a Jewish rabbi. Yes, that is a very good sermon on the temple. I agree with you.
That's better.
Thank you. You could have also discussed the tabernacle because we love the Moses. And they would have been completely content with it, then I have totally failed. So that new resource, it'll be out next week. It's called Exalt the King. I don't think you can subscribe to it yet. And look for Libby Glosson's new resource, Out of the Shadows, all going to be at FortisPlus.org.
Okay, so I want to make a correction here so people don't have to email and say that we gave wrong information. So Monday the 10th, Exalt the King is released.
Okay.
Monday the 17th. Is when Out of the Shadows is released.
Okay, so now here's what I would normally do, and I will do this for Out of the Shadows. It's anytime we release a new resource, I love playing clips from it here on Wretched Radio. Love it. Exalt the King.
It's going to be hard for you.
you'll just have to imagine because I can't do it. I can't do it.
I understand.
877-282-2337.
All right, here's one from Eric real quick. Todd, how do you feel about a sermon application team? Our elder team has faithful and strong gospel-focused preachers. However, some Mondays, we meet to discuss sermon application points, and the elder preaching that particular Sunday will guide the discussion.
Never heard of such a thing. It would. I think it would depend on how that's run, what the motivation is, and why it's being done. Because that's the pastor's responsibility, but the pastor can go to resources to help with exegesis, with word studies, we have concordances, Bible dictionaries, encyclopedias, commentaries. So this could be acceptable in that realm if you're just looking for ideas. Okay, everybody, here's the 3 points of the sermon. This is the how could you see this being applied to your life so that I can make this really, really relevant for people? Okay, I guess that could happen if the motivation is right. And the pastor is just trying to be diligent. And it could be that it's a weak area of the pastor. He's just not good at it and he needs people's help. I say fine. But if it turns into one of those things where it's like a sermon writing team, hey, I think you should, why don't you talk about, ooh, then I think that you got a problem. You got too many cooks in the kitchen and the head chef is supposed to be the pastor. So it can be done. It just needs to be done. Very carefully. And if I might just toss in one more note about sermons and application, Pastor, we have to do better with our sermon applications. Then there's our 45-minute sermon. Here's our 2-minute application. Goodbye, everybody. That is not application preaching. This is Wretched Radio.
You've tried everything. You've sent articles, you've had the conversations, you've probably argued more than you wanted to, but you have a loved one who is still neck deep in the prosperity gospel or the new apostolic reformation, and nothing you seem to say gets through. It's exhausting, I know, and it's also heartbreaking. Snatch Them from the Flames was made for exactly this reason. Todd Vriel and Justin Peters sit down and they tackle why your loved one is attracted to these movements in the first place, because until you actually understand that, you're just going to be swinging in the dark. Then they walk through the things that you can actually say and do to help pull them toward Christianity. This isn't about winning an argument. It's about understanding someone you love and pointing them to something real. If you've got a family member or a friend caught up in a false gospel and you don't know what else to try, Snatch Them from the Flames is for you. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, here's something that I've noticed, and maybe you have too, but it's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. A Sunday is Sunday. Work is work. Parenting is parenting. And somewhere in there, you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast, Integrated, is so incredibly important. Dr. Krotz is a pastor. He's an author. He's a biblical counselor. And he's a Fortis Institute fellow and the host of Integrated. And he is helping people see how Scripture speaks to every part of their life. Not just the spiritual stuff, but the practical, everyday, how do I actually live this stuff out stuff. And if what we're doing at Fortis Institute has been a source of encouragement for you, I want to ask you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Have you ever wanted to take a tour of Europe, but you couldn't swing the airfare? Good news, Todd Friel's already gone for you. Our resource on the Shoulders of Giants takes you across 6 countries to meet your Christian ancestors, the Reformers, the men who were strangled, quartered, and burned alive so you could hold a Bible in your own language and understand the gospel of grace. You'll see the stake where Jan Hus was burned to death, the prison where William Tyndale translated scripture, the very courtroom where John Wycliffe was called monstrously wicked. You'll visit Martin Luther's home, the field where George Whitefield preached to 30,000 people without a microphone, and the outdoor pulpit of the thundering Scot himself, John Knox. These people were too good for this world, and their lives will challenge you to be bolder than ever before. On the Shoulders of Giants, it is streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.org.
Attributes of God. God is a person. He is not a detached, impersonal force. He is a conscious, self-aware being with a mind and a will. He has made himself known through Scripture, and most of all, he wants you to know him personally.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Somebody's going to have to apologize here. This is Wretched Radio. You don't like that sermon application team idea.
Well, I mean, not necessarily, no. No, like you said.
That's not what you said during the break. I don't like that at all.
Thanks.
It was a fist-pounding definitive no.
Thanks for saying that.
Well, you didn't like it.
Well, I don't. I think I agree with exactly what you said. It's the responsibility of the pastor. And I get, you know, you've got other resources and, you know, your pastor team, those that work on your staff can be a resource. I would be more okay with a, instead of a sermon application team, I would be more okay with a sermon illustration team. If you wanted to use illustrations in a sermon to bounce that off the pastors on your staff.
Yeah. But what's the difference, though?
Illustrations are a little bit different than applications.
Well, they are. I understand that. But what makes one a disqualifier and the other not?
No, I don't think it's a disqualifier. I was agreeing with the fact that you have to be very careful about it. If you're the pastor, if you're the preacher, you got to be very careful about that kind of thing.
Giving the reins. Potentially. Well, that's why I said I think it depends on how it's done.
Yeah.
And what the motivation is. It would be interesting. I would like to know from the pastor why he's done that. And if he says, it just makes the sermon better because I understand how this, what I prepared is impacting people. Okay. I can get that. But it would be very easy in a setting like that for that team to start directing the sermon and to start changing the sermon.
Well, and I can see a place for it when you've got a whole team of pastors on your staff and, you know, you're all engaged with the body and they can, you know, kind of help digress. This is what our body's dealing with right now.
Right.
I can see a place for it in that kind of sense.
Yeah. If you would like to learn how to do application preaching, I do commend Mike Fabares's book. It's about 20 some years old now, maybe even more at this point, Preaching That Changes Lives. And you may not agree with everything that Mike writes in it. In fact, I don't think any pastor would agree with everything he says. And here's why. It's not because Mike is wrong or dumb. He's definitely not dumb. It's because every pastor's sermon and preparation and presentation should be different. Why? Because every pastor is different. It just is. I was listening to some. How does somebody prepare a sermon video come up? I'm like, ooh, I want to watch that. And it was John Piper. And John Piper said, look, I'll tell you how I prepare a sermon, but don't do it my way. Do it your way. You got to figure out your thing. And that is so true. And so not everybody's application style preaching is going to be identical. Nevertheless, Mike's book is super helpful because it really does. It elevates application more than most of us are inclined to give it. It's like, all right, now that we've learned everything that I've studied this week, here's what you do with it. Let's go to Cracker Barrel. That's not enough. I think application should be woven throughout. It's definitely not the star. The teaching must be the centerpiece of it. And inside of that teaching centerpiece is definitely Jesus Christ. But it should be reminded at least throughout and shown how this impacts. So if you've got 3 points, let's say, and you give one application at the end, why couldn't you give application for each of those 3 points at least? And if your main application is thought about in the beginning of the sermon, in the middle of the sermon, at the end of the sermon, well, guess what you're going to do? You're going to reinforce it a lot more. Please forgive me for this. I'm just thinking as I'm even speaking about my Sunday sermon, it's like, okay, am I doing these things in this? And I think the answer is yes, I probably could do it. No, I definitely could do it better. But it's going to begin with a question about how much you long to be in church. How much do you long to be in church? Now, if that's my opening salvo, that really should be the theme of the sermon. You should be longing to be in church. Just like the psalmist longed to be in the temple, you should be longing to be in the church. Furthermore, you should be longing for heaven, where the shadow of the temple will be reality. The actual will be there as God dwells among his people. That desiring to be in the temple then is going to guide the points that I make inside of the sermon. So for instance, if, and please forgive me, you just start preachers talking about sermons and look out, you're in big trouble. We can't help it because we live and breathe it basically. So if my desire is my hope is that people would desire to be in church more. As I'm preaching through these different points, how does that help them desire to be in church more? How does it do that? And if necessary, it needs to explain, this is why this particular point, this is why you should long to be in church. This is why you should race to church on Sunday morning. Because, for instance, one of the points that the psalmist makes in Psalm 84, it appears to take a little bit of a diversion. He starts talking about pilgrims on the road through the Valley of Baca, which is an arid land, being moved from strength to strength as even the arid desert land becomes joyous for the pilgrim. Why? Because that pilgrim is longing for church. He's longing to be in the temple, and it gives him strength. Are you lacking the strength to get to church? Think about what you're missing if you're not there. Think about all of the delights that await you, the word that was prepared for you, the Jesus that is going to have the spotlight thrown on him, the fellowship that you'll be having with other believers, the reminder of the sacrifice, the once for all sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for sinners. Think about those things. And it will give you strength and it'll get you out of bed and you're going to come run into church because you are going to experience the most beautiful place on earth. Why? Because the most beautiful place on the earth in the Old Testament was the temple. The most beautiful place on the earth in the New Testament is the church. Why? And if you're from Alpharetta Bible Church at the moment, please do not listen to this. Here's why. It is found in the first verse. How lovely are your dwelling places. What makes the temple so lovely? It's not the furniture, it's not the decoration, it's not the jewels, it's not the gold plating. God is there. God is there. And God is in your church because God dwells inside of each one of those temples that is attending church. And when all of those little temples get together, they make up a glorious temple. And it's the most beautiful place on earth. Why? Because God is in our midst. What is this God like? What has this God done for us? You think on those things because that is what makes the church that you attend the most beautiful place on earth. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to give you the strength. It's going to give you the energy. It's going to give you the desire to get there, to get those kids wrangled, throw them in the minivan, get them cleaned up, give them a spit bath on the way. Because we're going to church, kids, because I got to be there because it's the most beautiful place on earth. That is application preaching that makes its way throughout a sermon. So I've got 12 points on Sunday. And each one of those points should reveal the application, which is this teaching about the temple / church / heaven should cause us to long to be in the most beautiful place on earth. Shouldn't be mentioning this, but next year, this is what I was just discussing. It's not going to be something that we talk about on the radio perpetually. But it is going to be a focus of this ministry because it's our desire to help as many pastors as we possibly can to be delivering the best sermons that they can. And those sermons should be laden with application. They should be not just filling the head, but stirring the heart. And they should be shining the spotlight on Jesus Christ. More details on that later. Thank you very much for allowing me to talk about one of my favorite subjects. 877-282-2337.
From anonymous Todd, as a young adult, should I apologize to my parents for the things I did wrong as a teenager?
Yes. 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 You know what? Challenge you to do that. If you're an adult child, and which you are, because, I mean, you can't be an adult if you're not a child, and you've never apologized to your parents, do it. Do it. First of all, you should. You should, because if you've sinned against somebody, what should you do? You should want to repent to that person. And I'm telling you, if you will do that, you watch your relationship change. Now you say, my relationship with my parents is pretty good. Cool. It'll be better. I promise you, I'm not kidding. The power of repentance is massive. For years, I've been encouraging parents, do that with your kids. And it can be really hard because the kids are maybe being bratty. They're ghosting them. You repent to your kids. You watch the relationship change on a dime. And I'm saying that also to the kids. If you repent to your parents, if your relationship with them is bad, it'll become good. And if it is good, it will become great. Why? You're cleaning the carpets, you're getting sin out of the way, you're restoring the relationship, and it will be deeper, richer, and better than ever. So glad you asked that question. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.